Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
All right, the Westport Flea Market, end of the hour answer. Taking you back to the 70s. On this date in 1976, Toby Hara, Rangers shortstop, did something in a doubleheader. Had never been done before, has not been done since.
Did he play third also?
For part of his career, he did.
Mick Schaefer was talking to me down at 41 last night, and he'd found a story about the best players not drafted, so it eliminated all the Latin players. You know, so like American-born players not drafted by position. Frank White was the best second baseman ever, not drafted. Toby Hara was third base.
He was initially a shortstop and then became a third baseman. He played quite a long time.
Yeah,
he played it was an interesting 17 list. Years, primarily as a shortstop early, but a third baseman. Yeah, he had some good offensive numbers.
Yeah.
Very good player. Kind of got lost to history, though. But
anyway, what
did Toby Hara do at shortstop in a doubleheader on this date in 76? Hadn't been done before. Hasn't been done since.
Two home runs in each game.
He played every inning of a doubleheader at short without a single chance in the field.
Oh, wow. Really?
There were plenty of ground balls that day. He had no chances. No ground balls to him. No double plays. Zero. It's never happened before for a shortstop.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen again either. That's about as big of an anomaly as you can get.
Said he could have left his glove at home.
You're listening to the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB as Westport Flea Market. Great burgers at the Westport Flea Market. That's what we were playing for right there. In fact, you can get buy one, get your second one for 37 cents at the Westport Flea Market. It's honor of them. Being named the 37th best burger in the entire country every Tuesday throughout this summer. You can buy one burger, get the second burger for 37 cents. It's at the Westport Flea Market. We're going to hold off on the pitching. We got the Royals don't play tonight, so we'll talk about the pitching tomorrow. It is interesting, though. Matt Strom going, Jake Junis going in this turn against the Tigers. So they will accomplish something if they take two out of three.
Mm-hmm.
Both their fill-ins going up against the Tigers, even though the Tigers look like they're maybe dead in the water. SEC coaches, basketball coaches, had a conference call today, kind of the off-season call, and some interesting stuff. Let's start with Konzo Martin. We just got this done, so I'm going to get you this. Konzo was asked about the fan expectations there in Columbia for this season.
I think realistically, you're talking about, you know, defend, rebound, play hard. You know, play as a team. I think those are things that you can control night in and night out, to play as a team, to defend to the best of your ability, to play as hard as you can play, to rebound the basketball, to share the ball on the offensive side of the ball, but to give you numbers and specific, there's so many unknowns because we're still going through it. And I like to think we had everything all figured out here at the end of June, but there's still ways to go. But I like our parts. I like the desire to be a good team, to be individuals, to be great players, the time that they're putting in on the floor. But it's just so hard to say right now. And I've never been one consumed about, you know, what expectations are. I mean, because at the end of the day, these guys have to understand how hard it is, how hard they have to play to be a student-athlete, to be successful in the classroom, to be good in the community. So there's a lot of things involved with just not just going to the actual game. And my job is to make sure these guys are well-rounded young men.
Sounds good. How's it sound if they come up short from the NCAA tournament his first 2 years?
First 2 years, not very good at all.
Sounds like a guy who didn't want a soundbite lingering out there of him saying, we're a tournament team or we're an X team. Defend and rebound, that's a...
We're top half of the SEC.
You're not on anyone's bulletin board when you're a defense and rebound team.
Setting the bar fairly low.
So, but it was fairly coach speak-esque, right?
Yeah.
I do appreciate the fact that he talked about the guys well-rounded, make them good young men and everything. And that is great, and that's a great philosophy to live by, and it's part of the reason why he can recruit, because that sounds good to mom, and that sounds good to dad. So that is very noble. But I will stress, you got 1 year with the number one player in the country, and I don't know when the number one player in the country is going to be from Missouri again. When his godfather is going to get fired to open him up and land right in your lap, you got to make as much hay with this kid and this roster as you can to make it a spot, not where the number one overall pick went and went nine. I mean, look, Markelle Fultz went to Washington. When's the next time the number one pick's going to go to Washington again?
Never.
I mean, you go 9 and 20, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, you got the number one pick and he didn't do anything. And then if he would then go fifth in the draft, the number one pick went to Missouri, had a bad year, and then ended up going fifth. Now, a lot of people, I've heard a lot of scouts say, oh, he's way better than anybody that was in this class, which I always take with a grain of salt because I never hear anybody go, well, next year's class sucks.
Right.
You know, it's the, oh, wait till next year because I don't have to be graded on that now, and hopefully you forget that I said it if it goes wrong.
It's a chance to break the mold. Last number one overall picks were on bad teams in college.
Yes, he does.
And that has been a negative.
Yes.
Go out there, put a team in the tournament.
It is. I mean, it is, yeah. I mean, it's two in
very
a row.
Bad teams. Been,
the LSU wasn't very bad. Washington was very
bad.
Yeah,
that's true.
LSU was an NIT team.
Yeah.
But the number one overall pick should be able to affect change better than that. We'll see what these kids end up being when they get to the pros. But interesting. Mike Anderson on the conference call, Arkansas head coach, talking about Konzo Anderson. Anderson asked about the talent that Konzo Martin has been able to get at Mizzou.
Well, I'm excited for Konzo, and obviously he comes in. Timing is everything, and he was able to put a tremendous recruiting class. We always talk about sometimes coaching is overrated. You got to have players, and with that class he has coming in with Porter being one of the better high school players in the country at 6'10", 6'11", like a guard. I can remember the kid was like 6 feet. Man, and he just didn't shut up like a cannon. And very skilled, very talented. But not only have him, Tillman, and you have Phillips, the kids that are there right there now. So, but Konzo has been through the wars of the SEC, and he knows what it takes to really compete at a high level. And I'm sure he'll turn around pretty quick. I think he got some of the players there, and Missouri. Again, I think they've done a good job of bringing in a guy that recognizes, talent, and I think he can get those guys to play at a high level. And so, and all it does is continue to put more another team that's going to be on everybody's radar and have an opportunity to play some postseason basketball at the end of the year.
Timing's everything. Yeah, I mean, I think if I were to extend it, what Mike Anderson probably would say is, yeah, and I was getting to where I was fencing in Missouri, and had I been there, we'd have landed this kid. Now, he didn't get Otto Porter because he left, and he never did get the biggest of the big out of that state.
Yeah, but he made sure to mention that he has known this kid for a while.
Yeah.
Of him. I knew him back when he was 6 foot.
So, but I do think that's, he couldn't put that kind of class together. And again, and timing is everything, and you've got to make the most of the timing. It was a great spot for Konzo Martin to step in. He's saying all the right things. It all sounds good right now. Got to maximize this year for everything you possibly can. As much success as you can. People are going to come down. They have been selling tickets, and they're going to come down and watch the games. And if you win, it's going to be fun. And they're going to renew their tickets for next year. They're going to believe in you. The kid's going to move on. But they're going to believe in you, and you keep that building full, that makes it easier to recruit. It is a beast that feeds itself. It is a beast that feeds itself, and that's why they got to make the most of it. But I think that's interesting to hear Mike Anderson talking about the kind of talent that's there.
Has a guy ever taken over an 8-win team with more pressure than Konzo Martin? I mean, usually you think first year, he came up, they won 8 games last year. They won 6 games in the league in 2 years.
No, I mean, there's two ways
to pop in and go, you got to win now, Captain.
There's two ways to look at that. I mean, the easy answer would be no, because there is huge pressure. But he created the pressure.
Right.
There was no pressure when he was hired. The pressure came when it was, we're going to get Martin, and we're going to get.
It's a good distinction.
Get the kid, too. That's when the pressure, I mean, he created the pressure by landing the recruiting class. Because I don't think Kim Anderson was going to land.
No,
Do you?
I don't think he was going
to
land.
Michael
those
Porter
guys.
Jr. was coming to. No.
Now without Porter, Tillman didn't come because of the AAU effect. I want to play with good players.
Yeah.
And if Porter's wherever Porter ended up being, Tillman's not there. And there's another one
Illinois.
that joined late too.
The guard.
Yeah, it was
North
name
Carolina.
Game, yeah.
Yeah, I look. He's going to recruit, but he's not always going to have the number one player in the country. That grew up in Columbia, Missouri.
Yeah.
So that's why you got to maximize it.
Just as it worked out for Mike Anderson, that Damari Carroll was, I mean, there were in Phil Pressey. I mean, he got, there were some fortunate steps along the way for Mike Anderson.
Where's Phil Pressey from? Well, you're just talking about his relationship with his dad.
Yeah, that he was able to land him. And wasn't there was a link with Carroll, too.
Carroll's his nephew.
Yeah, so there's, he had a nephew who was in the NBA and, you know.
And a best friend's kid who was really good.
Who was a high pick, so he had a little bit of
and wasn't that the deal he had
too.
To take the Pressey brothers were kind of known as a package deal in recruiting, and he had the availability to take Matt and Phil, which also helped out greatly.
Mm-hmm. You know, but I mean the same thing can be said of what was going on up at Washington, because what Lorenzo Romar wasn't going to land a kid out of Columbia, Missouri, unless it happened to be his mm-hmm. godson. So that's but he couldn't keep his job to keep the fish in the net.
Yeah.
So you got to do the other things well enough that when that opportunity comes, grab it.
He was in the net. Someone took the net out of his hand and said, this isn't your net anymore.
Yeah.
And the fish went by.
Let's hear from Avery Johnson, who's got his own very talented recruiting class coming to Alabama. He was asked what are his thoughts on Konzo Martin and what he's been able to do in a very short time at Mizzou.
Well, I think it's great. Konzo obviously has had a heck of a run coaching in the SEC and coaching out west, and now bringing a really talented team and assembling a really talented team at Missouri in a short period of time. I think it's great for Missouri, it's great for the SEC, and I think it's going to continue to upgrade SEC basketball.
Bringing a really talented team.
Yep.
That was kind of...
He's bringing Johnson's bringing a really talented kid himself in this year.
Well, he's bringing a whole great class.
Class, but man, that Sexton kid, he got the ball in that McDonald's. It was like someone turned on another light in the arena. It just changed.
Yeah.
They're loaded.
But there's no doubt that the bar has been raised in the SEC.
Yes.
South That's Carolina the in the Final Four.
Right. We began talking about this a year or so ago. It ain't getting any easier. I mean, Ben Hallen hasn't had the success we thought he would be, but it's a little tougher to climb up that ladder.
Well, I think Mississippi State's going to be pretty good this year.
Yeah, I thought Hallen would have a better team quicker, but he's got the pedigree. That's not just a football conference.
Yeah, that's a tough place to win.
Yep.
It'll be interesting to see who does better, Howland or Konzo Martin. Because Howland's name was talked about by a lot of people, yours truly included in that. But Avery Johnson's got things rolling at Alabama. A&M is no slouch. The league's
Florida
for real.
Appears to be back. And if they're once Florida's back, I mean, once an established program is kind of back, it's a lot harder for them to get knocked down.
Frank Martin. Always like to hear from Frank Martin. Big fan of Frank Martin, but I'm not sure. He always loves his league. Ah, it's the toughest league.
He does.
You try to tell me you got to play this, that, Frank Martin talking about the SEC potentially expanding to a 20-game league schedule.
Yeah, I don't want to speak out of place with stuff that I only have partial information, but I believe – the reason for those conferences doing what they're doing is because of network, I don't know what you call it, like the SEC network, whatever their own networks are called.
Right.
And, to be able to get the networks going, a certain commitment to make it work. I know ours is in place. It's good the way it is. I'm not a fan of 20 league games. It just makes no sense. We're just gonna, if we're gonna separate Power Five schools from the NCAA tournament, and we're gonna have our own tournament, then that's fine. But if it's gonna be against the way everyone else around the country does it, we're just gonna beat each other up and just not give ourselves the opportunities that other people are giving themselves.
Let me ask you, are they beating each other up, or is it just coaches have to go, you don't get to pad the win total? Frank Martin's actually had a fairly soft schedule each of the last 2 years. It cost him a spot in the NCAA tournament 2 years ago. Certainly didn't affect his ability to make a strong run through the tournament this year. And he kind of got bit with some teams that are usually good that were bad 2 years ago. It was better. Maybe I need to go back and look. Maybe it was just okay. I don't remember it being a juggernaut. But at K-State, he was willing to go play some folks. And so I think he'll be there at South Carolina as well. So I don't think he schedules cream puffs. But what is the big – how many do they play now? 18, right?
Yeah.
Two more league games is going to beat us up?
If college basketball wanted to go preseason tournaments and 20-game league schedules, sign me up as a viewer. I would much rather see that than Appalachian State go somewhere and just get waxed. Who cares? I mean, tournaments and 20 games.
College football dies down in December. I mean, it goes all the way up to November, or through November. And then you have the conference championship games there.
Usually
the week
December
7th December.
Or December 8th or so.
And you have bowl games. And really nowadays, there's not that many bowl games that matter. So if you were rocking and rolling some conference games early, I don't see any problem with it. Mm-mm. I mean, you know, I think the problem comes from you don't trust the committee to actually go, okay, like let's say the SEC played 26. You played everybody in the league twice. You did a round robin home and home. If you played 26 of your, 31 games, and you got five rummies. I mean, what? You play anyway. Is it the extra 11 minutes that your starters play when you're not just cream puffing it that's going to kill you? Is it not getting minutes? Is it not? Like, I don't get it, because he's right about the TV. The Big Ten Network, and the Big Ten's who he's alluding to, he suddenly couldn't figure out what their network's called. Right. I thought that was priceless.
The
SEC Network, their thing like that.
In the
I
Big
don't know.
Ten.
The Big Ten Network, coach? Anyway, but yes, the TV, and eventually all the TVs will say, look, we want good games.
Yes.
We need more good games. Because within a league, you get stuck with Missouri against somebody. How many did, I think the SEC was bragging about Missouri last year. There's always going to be a bottom feeder. Those games are crap. It's not like every league game is good.
Missouri, Auburn.
So if you play more league games, you have the potential for more good league games. It's not just about a league game. It's about good league games that you can get people to watch on the television set. And I'll tell you what, their tune will change if the network contracts next time around are, we're gonna make a 25% cut. What? We're gonna cut 25%. Now maybe it won't happen because Netflix will say we want the SEC basketball contract, and we'll give you 20% more than you had last year. Maybe there are gonna be new parties at the table, Netflix, Hulu, all those types of things. Twitter. I still don't really even get how the NFL was. I saw it on there kinda sometimes. But, Facebook is going to start doing it. I mean, I don't know. Maybe there are enough new players that the contracts aren't going to back up. But if it's left to the TV providers that we have now, the contracts are going to back up. That's what's scary for the Royals. They have to. They're all losing subscriptions. Everybody that we talk about now is in some way subscriber-based. They're not as subscriber-driven as ABC ESPN is. And that's because of how strong ESPN's been. But the NBC contracts include the NBC Sports Network. The CBS contracts include the CBS Sports Network. Those are subscription-based channels. And so when people are cutting the cord, they're not watching that stuff.
Nope.
Now, maybe with their apps, like Fox Sports Go, which is a great app, will suddenly start being like $5 a month. Right now, I'd pay it.
Of course. I would, too.
Maybe that's what it's going to be. But, they're tied in. You got to go through your provider, whoever you are on that. So, if they back up and say, look, you're not playing enough good games. We have no interest in showing Fairleigh Dickinson, South Carolina. But play Tennessee that second game of the home and home, okay. Play Missouri a second game, okay.
And suddenly, 20 games, well, they can do it. They'll be finding ways to justify. Of course, they can. Every coach will be on board with it probably at that point.
The problem is if you go to 26, you have five non-con games. And where do you get some good – I mean, and you notice he packaged in there with it the, well, with as long as we're going to play, if the Power Five's moving away to their own tournament, okay. Like, look, as long as we got to put Fairleigh Dickinson in and all that, if we're going to put 64 Power Five teams in, okay, I'll go do it. And we'll put a non-con together with a Big 12 game, a Pac-12 game, a Big 10 game, and then our 26, or in this case, they're talking about 20. But, you know, if you're talking about breaking away and having your own tournament, I don't think you're going to get to play Fairleigh Dickinson.
No.
You're going to have to play other Power Five schools. Your whole schedule is going to have to be other Power Five schools. So that means come up with 31 games. Well, you might as well go to round robin in every conference. So that'd be 26 in the SEC. And then you got five other games. But it's much more compelling basketball. I'm a lot more willing to watch South Carolina play UCLA in a non-con, then turn around and play 26 SEC games. So it'll be interesting. It's dynamic changes, dynamic times right now in the television landscape for college sports and professional sports. You know, we'll all be fine. We're all going to get our sports. Might end up being a lot more expensive, our whole a la carte thing, if we got to pay $40 to Netflix and $20 to Hulu and still $30 to a cable provider that provides your networks and this and that, the other bulk of channels, you might end up getting crushed.
No more bundling.
Bundling might have been the best thing that happened to us. I don't know. Everybody wants it better, but sometimes you don't think through what the change is. Who knows? Maybe you'll be able to say, look, I want my 16 sports channels at a total cost of $68, and all I need are the networks at another $60. I'm $128. I was paying $187 before that. Maybe it will. Maybe it'll work. I don't know.
Plus, how happy would the SEC network not to have to carry, and I'm looking at their schedule, they play a school called Lander. Literally, anyone tell me anything about Lander. L-A-N-D-E-R. They beat them by 38. 28, excuse me.
Who did? South Carolina?
South Carolina. Played Lander. You click on Lander's name, it just says they went 0-1 against South Carolina. Maybe take that team off the schedule, Frank.
You've got room. And that's the other thing. Is like, hey, by the way, if you have to do it, Frank, so will everybody else. Like, they're not just going to make you play the two extra games. Everybody's got to play the games. It may not be good for coaches because it makes it harder to try to But you know, here's the other thing. When a coach gets fired, a different one gets hired. They don't roll on with one less coach.
It's true.
You know?
Those Lander Bearcats are tough.
I'm going to tell you something. That's something you needed to know. We'll give you other things you need to know next.